Thank you. So please turn to Mark chapter 6. It starts at verse 30, and then Clive's going to come and read to us.
Mark chapter 6 from verse 30. Jesus, 44. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said. "It's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said, "It would take 8 months' of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000.
Just pray, Lord, I just pray that we might learn something from your word, Lord, and from the verses that I read out and from other verses in the Bible, Lord, that we might learn something that might benefit us this morning about what you would have us do and what you want us to be, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a question. When does old age start? When you're born? That's a good thing. It's 5 years older than what we are. So I just wonder whether it was when we retire from work, whether it was when I reach 70 years old, or is old age just a state of mind? Perhaps that's it. Because, you see, I've just had the big 6-0 last month, and so it's making me thinking about what is old age. It's a 50 is the new 40 and 60 is the new 50. Sometimes, of course, I feel older than others, especially in the mornings. So with this passage, I don't know if I should. Yes, I will. I had a bit of a dilemma, really, because I did a message at Biddeford a few weeks ago, which it was quite creative, and I was sort of on my heart about God's peace, you see. And then I had this passage and I had a dilemma. Should I sort of say, look, I feel God's leading to me this, which is all ready to go, and or should I do this passage? So I really didn't know what God was saying. So I've done the passage in a slightly different way to what I normally do. I haven't retold the story and done it in an expositional way this time. I've done it in a different way. So whether good, bad or different, you'll have to make up your own mind about that. But that was my dilemma, which to use, and I decided to go with this. Done it in a slightly different way, and just looked at the overall theme, really. And I really picked out the verses that God spoke to me through in this passage, rather than telling the story. So the first thing I got from it was resting with God, which was Mark 6, verse 31, in the passage, which says, "Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not have a chance to eat, he said to them, that's Jesus, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So that's the first verse I picked on. I've got the verse of a song here, and I want you to tell me which song it was. It says this, when I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. Does anybody know the song? It is. Now, I looked, it's really interesting because a few weeks ago I went with my son to hear the Andrew Rieu live concert, which was at the cinema. So we did this concert in Strasbourg, and it's been put on the cinemas. So we went on the Saturday evening, and a lady came and sung it, and I heard the words of this, and I thought, wow, it was amazing. Suddenly shivered them. It's not a Christian song, but the words certainly resonated with me. It just gave me a clear message about just stopping a while with Jesus when she sung it. Because Jesus said in Mark 6, verse 31, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And then I thought to myself, you know, for me, it's one of the hardest things for me to do that I find is for me to do is to rest with God, to be quiet with God. It's one of the hardest things. And I don't know whether it's just me or whether it's everybody, but there's so much that jostles for my attention in the world today. So we've got, what have I got? TV, all the multiple channels. One of the children now got Netflix, where you can go. And honestly, I've looked at, I want to watch a film. What film should I watch? I have went through all the films for 10 minutes and not found a film. I've done that. What a waste of time. Anyway, Netflix, films, which I love some of the films. Sport, you know, the Premier League started up. The cricket's on. The sport.
Don't mention the cricket.
Don't mention the cricket. Just because Eric's recorded it. So don't say anything more about the cricket. Social media. Now, that's a big thing in today's life. Particularly, no, not just for young people. But my kids, you know, we're on and the phone's clicking all the time with something. It's just all the time that there's something on. Now, thankfully, my phone, it's not connected to the internet. I've got an older one, and I can switch it off. And these are the things that take my attention. Audio books, because I get audio books now, which are brilliant. But again, you know, to listen to them. Music, I love music. My iPad, it's a blessing, because I couldn't preach without it, but it's also a curse because I play games on it. So, is that just me or is it all of you? Oh, it's not just me. It's just me. Thank you, Clive. Thank you for that encouragement. It's just me. Well, you can learn then from my mistakes. So, what takes all your time and all your attention? That's what the point of this is. Just asking you. In our society today, it seems to be resting and peace is all about going to a retreat. In order to rest and be at peace, you've got to go to a retreat for a weekend or for a week. And what I'm thinking of is that, well, hang on, why can't I do that in my own home? Have a time of rest. The pace of life gets forever quicker and quicker and more stressful. Would you agree with that? It's like a bubble that gets, like a snowball that gets bigger and bigger and bigger and faster and faster and faster. So Mark 6, verse 31 again. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves. He was talking to his disciples then, to a quiet place and get some rest. And I just think about Jesus when he was beset on every side. There were crowds around him and wherever he went. And as we know from other stories in the Bible, occasionally somebody would come and touch him, the woman with the issue of blood. They'd come up to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. But most of the time there were crowds all around, many of people who didn't believe in Jesus, they were just there because of the crowd. And so the first thing I want to say this morning is quite simple. Can you and I find time to simply rest with God in God's presence? I guess you might expect somebody who's preachers to do that more, but it's a struggle to do it, and I admit that. But have we got time? Can we find time to rest with God? Let's take a look at what grabs our attention in the world today. Consider the benefits of resting in God. What will we get if we rest in God? Well, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's the benefit of resting in God, resting with Jesus. So the next thing I found was, with resting with Jesus, receiving from God. So it was resting in God, receiving from God. If we spend time resting with God, we are assured that we will receive something from God. So Mark 6, verse 42, it just simply says, "They all ate and were satisfied." So I came to the conclusion this story is much more than a large crowd being fed with five loaves and two fish. It's about God providing all that they needed, whether they believed in Jesus or not. So Jesus provided this feast for them, but it was more than just food. It's about the whole panoply of God offered to his creation, his people. And I had to look up that word. I did think of it, but then I had to look it up to see if it was the right one. And panoply means a complete or magnificent array. A complete or magnificent array. Why is it then that as human beings we settle for so much less than what we can receive from God? So a personal example is that in May I went up to London, my family, to my sister's 40th wedding anniversary. And we went up, and we were on the motorway, and we had to stop for food at about 10 o'clock. And this is the one and only time I've ever had a Burger King meal. Never had a Burger King meal. And I said to the kids, "What shall I have?" No idea. Couldn't see the stuff on the wall. So they said, "Well, have a cheeseburger." So I got a cheeseburger, and there was a big queue, and we had to wait. And I took a bite of it, and I thought, well, I almost actually took it to the bin and put it straight in. It was so awful. But I thought, well, I'm not going to get nothing to eat otherwise at all. So I had to eat it. You see, the point was there was a huge queue. And honestly, I was sitting there eating this thing, burger, thank you, and looking at the queue, and I was amazed because it was going bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you see, why is it that we sort of queue up for things that are not so good? I have been worried for a while about how society is, in general, is choosing a Burger King lifestyle. Do you know what I mean? A Burger King lifestyle rather than enjoying a crisp salad lifestyle, which is a lot more healthy. I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but I did hear it, that more people this year applied to go on Love Island than applied to go to Oxford University. That says something about our society. It says something. And you might say, well, you know, I didn't watch it, but the program, but that says something about our society. And people want to watch Love Island, like it or not. It's very, very popular. Jesus provided a complete and magnificent array for all the people that were around him with the food. But he gave them so much more. And what's challenging me is that when we rest in God's presence and switch off the social media, I've got to stop, you know, not want to watch a film tonight, I don't want to watch Netflix. When I bother to rest in God's presence, he offers us so much more than these other things that grab for our attention. Does that make sense? He offers us his peace. He offers us his love. He offers us his joy. In fact, the whole panoply again of God is there for us. If only we would go to him. And we've done that today with our prayers, actually. We prayed for people that's on our hearts and asking God to touch them. But, you know, for people who don't know God, they've not got that to rely on, have they? They've got to muddle through on their own. Galatians 5, verse 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit," you know this very well, "is love, is joy, is peace." Just look out in the world and see what's out there. It's not love, joy, and peace, is it? There's a lot of anger out there, as I said last time when I came here, actually. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's part of the panoply of God that's on offer for us. And I ask myself the question, why do I insist on doing all this Burger King stuff when I could be doing the crisp salad stuff and getting some real goodness from God? So are we all ready to receive what God has for us today? So we can rest with God, as I said. We can receive from God. That's all good. And the last thing I got of this passage was Mark 6, verse 37, which says, Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." You give them something to eat. So we need also to respond to God. Sometimes the simplest things are the most profound. Do you agree? Doesn't have to be really complicated. I got off the bus a few weeks ago, and because it was raining and it was sunny, I had to stuff my stuff in. Anyway, I got off the bus and my headphones fell out of my bag on the floor. So a guy came up and tapped me on the back and said, "Excuse me, you dropped these. Nice pair." Well, that was really kind. See, something very simple, something very profound. A friend couldn't make my 60th bash because they were away, and they treated me to a coffee and cake in Barcelona, which I thought was lovely. Something very simple, something very profound. The person I prayed for, the person that was attacked, it was a colleague, and they had to rush off to go to see her daughter had been assaulted, and she was just heading out, and I said, "Can I just give you a hug?" That's all I could do. I couldn't do anything else. She knows that I would pray for her, but I just felt that a hug was enough. Something very simple, but yet very profound, can make all the difference. Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 6:37, "You give them something to eat." What I mean is that God is calling each one of us to respond to his call to be his disciples. So we're not just resting in God for our own benefit. We're not just receiving from God to take all this lovely stuff in for us. We're doing it so that we can respond and do things for others. Does that make a difference? Does that make sense to you? So we can respond and be his disciples. So just like in this story, Jesus calls us to be his hands and his feet. And it was really odd. I put on the Radio 4 this morning, the service, and just as I put it on, the speaker said, "Jesus calls us to be his hands and his feet." A little bit of confirmation there, I thought, because I didn't listen to it for very long, actually. So Jesus is calling us to be his hands and his feet in the world today. And then he says, he will provide the miracle, which takes us back to the story. But he said to his disciples, you give them something to eat. So his disciples had a role. Romans 15 verse 13, it's just a verse which means a lot to me. It says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read it again, Romans 15 verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So do you see what I mean by that verse? God's given us this love and this hope so that we can overflow when we're in the world. So we can give somebody that hug. So that we can be there for somebody when they're in need. So that we can offer to pray for somebody who's in need. We can say, do you mind if I pray perhaps with you or for you? The call for us is to rest with God, receive from God, so that we can overflow with hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that we can be full of God when we go into that the wicked world that we live in. And that we can share with our family, our friends, and our neighbours something of God's love, something of who God is. I'll just read you that verse from the song. I know it's not a Christian song, but it spoke to me. It says, when I am down, and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come, and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. Very simple, very profound. And just asking us to think this morning about the time we spend with the things of the world, the time we spend with God. And if we are prepared to spend more time with God, what's going to be the benefit for our friends, our family, and our neighbours? Amen. Can we just pray and before we sing our last song? Lord, the world's a very, very busy place. And as I said, Lord, it seems to be going ever busier, growing every busier, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that in the busyness of our lives, we would find time to rest in your presence. We would find time, Lord, to receive the whole panoply of God, Lord, from you. And we'd find time, Lord, to respond to what you call us to do. Lord, you might say, oh, Lord, I don't know what you're calling me to do. But, Lord, it might be something very simple. And yet it might be very profound, Lord, that you asked us to do. Something simple for somebody, a small thing that might mean all the difference to somebody that we meet. And I just pray that you would encourage us, Lord, to carry on doing your will in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Mission Praise 790. Let's stand and sing.